and welcome to the Hellbound podcast, Dissecting Dharma, part two.
Oh.
Excited.
I'm very excited. It's been a while since we talked about Dharma.
Have you forgotten?
Yeah, I wanted to forget, to be honest, because Dharma's quite a heavy subject. It's a heavy show, and it's not like we can go, yeah, let's watch all 10 episodes back to back.
I probably could, to be honest.
It's not like a fun show to watch, but it's very, very interesting. And I've enjoyed it so far. And I think we're covering episode 3 and 4 now.
That's right, yeah. Do you want me to tell you the episode titles?
Yes, please.
I can't remember.
Doing a Dharma.
And the Good Boy Box.
That's correct, yeah.
Okay.
That's correct. Ha ha.
Doing a Dharma, God.
I know, yeah. I can't believe the episode's called that.
I wonder if there have been any copycats.
That is worth investigating.
To be fair, I think Dharma was probably a copycat. I've already mentioned this, of Dennis Nielsen.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll cover Dennis in great detail in a further episode.
I think he was probably a copycat without even knowing he was a copycat.
Yeah.
Something to be said about internal urges.
Oh, I've got an internal urge.
Oh, for God's sake. Don't I know it?
You do, baby.
Right. What's the first one called again that we're going to talk about?
Doing a Dharma.
Episode 3.
3 of Dharma on Netflix.
So it started with and dealt a lot with abandonment.
Mm, absolutely.
His parents abandoning him.
His mother leaves and then his dad leaves him because he assumes his son's going to get a job or do something.
Well, he kind of dumped him, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly. He dumps him and that's pretty much it. Dumps him in the family home. So everyone leaves the family home.
Yeah, and he's still in high school.
Yeah, and the fact the child leaves, the child is the one that stays in the family home, and the parents disappear. That's quite an interesting point in his life.
Do you mean head fuck?
Yeah, head fuck, yeah.
Yes.
Explicit warning.
Yeah, oh, sorry. It really deals with being alone, the loneliness, abandonment, how impressionable you are at that age. I remember what I was like. What is he, like 15, 16, something like that? He's so impressionable.
Yeah.
You're really discovering who you are, and if you're left to your own devices, it can go...
Oh, it can go... People can go to crazy parties, do silly things.
Well, you just get in your own head.
Yeah, you get in your own head. He needed support. Like, I'm not making any excuses for Dharma at all, but he needed support. And if any child left in a position like that, and with what's going on with him when he was even younger, with the, you know, killing of animals, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's the hallmark serial killer signs.
Yeah, so it's probably the worst point in his life that they could have abandoned him.
Yeah, he was. You're at that age where you, like I say, you're so impressionable. You're really finding yourself, and he went dark with it, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. So what kind of happened in this episode?
So he did a lot of, like, keep fit.
Keep fit. Vic just did an impression of keep fit. Picture that, as you will. And he did a lot of booze, a lot of drinking, and he's a bit
That's right, he was going to school, wasn't he?
A bit of a sloth, wasn't he, yeah.
Yeah, very slovenly.
Yeah.
Living, like, he wasn't obviously looking after himself. It was difficult to watch because you just saw his mental state just deteriorate in front of your eyes.
And he didn't eat at one point in the episode, because it's been a while since we saw the episode. Picture someone in his kitchen he was talking to, and he was actually talking to himself.
Probably he was going mental. Imagine, Al, you can't even handle it when I'm away for an evening, let alone, like, for hours and hours on end when you're, like, 15 odd or whatever. Gosh, just imagine it. Like, you know, being alone on your own when you're that age. Like, you can't even handle it when I'm away for an evening, let alone for hours on end on your own for years. God knows how long.
I know, and he didn't know what was happening, where they were, when they were coming back, if they were ever coming back.
Fair dues. He did go to school. I wouldn't have gone to school.
Yeah, and before this, he'd already killed... Is that right?
I don't think so. I think I that comes remember. in the next the end of this episode. I'm
I thought
sure.
You're going to say season 2. Then.
Oh, no. The end of this episode.
Yeah,
I'm sure. There's a hitchhiker.
Oh, yes, there is. Yeah.
So he's looking for company, isn't he? Really.
Yeah.
But he was drunk as well.
But the hitchhiker was going to a concert, as I remember in the episode. Mm. As basically, without knowing too much history, we're going by the episode. So when we kind of not quote knowledge when we say what's happening is based purely on the show at this point. So I'm sure he picks someone up that's going to a concert, and he offers, "Oh, would you want a few beers? I'm about to have a few drinks at home.
And then I'll drop you off. Have some
food, I'll drop you off." And that's the point of no return, because he does already see a runner along that's going past his house, and he's driving past him. He's getting turned on about being with him or doing something to him. But then I think he scares him off with a bat jumping off a bush, doesn't he?
That's right.
And then he runs off.
His urges were heightened.
Exactly, yeah. So that's the point where we left that runner. And then the hitchhiker that's going to the concert.
It's very Ed Kemper, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. And it's a brutal, because obviously he kills the guy in his parents' house.
People still hitchhike, you know that, don't you?
Oh, I know. So yeah, it's a brutal moment because they're having dinner. I think they're doing weights. Is he hitting with a weight or something, doesn't he? And it's like, I think it's almost by accident, but not self-defense.
He just didn't want him to go.
And then he, in the show, he regrets doing it straight away.
And that was the end of that episode 3.
And that was the end of episode 3. I think he buries him in his parents' garden. Or no, is this the bit where he learns to do the stuff with the oven and smashes the bones up?
No.
I can't quite remember.
Well, this is useless.
Sorry, everyone.
Why don't you watch it and tell us?
I need to watch it again.
Would you watch it again?
No, I'll probably watch all of this eventually because we'll watch episode 5 and 6 soon. You? No, I like it, but I'm not enjoying it at all. It's like watching The Morning Show on Apple TV. It's heightened anxiety, and it's not really healthy to be watching those shows.
Who would have thought that you would pip those two in the same sentence, even?
Yeah, well, you know, gotta diversify with what you watch.
Yeah, but you find them both as harrowing as each other.
In some ways, yes, I do.
It's mentally disturbing.
It certainly is.
Okay, so sorry, I don't know why I find that funny. Not that you're mental disturbance.
It's because we're sitting so close together and we're sharing a microphone this time. Everyone, we're sharing a microphone. We don't have two mics today.
It's nice, it's intimate as we talk about murder.
Yeah. We are wearing clothes, everyone. We are wearing clothes.
And we've got the dog watching us.
That is very creepy, yeah.
Okay, so episode 4 is called The Good Boy Box.
Yeah.
Why did they even call it that?
I can't remember. There's going to be a lot of I can't remembers in this.
He goes to the army
and the
probably gets, sorry to interrupt you, probably gets the structure that he actually needs by going to the army.
Yeah, and he probably learns more efficient ways to kill people as well.
Oh God, Alex, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. Just strangulation, well, all sorts of stuff.
It's a school for killing, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Hand-to-hand combat. And then he's eventually thrown out, isn't he? Their parents think he's doing well.
Can I ask you, is it the 70s, isn't it? Oh, no, it's the 90s, sorry. I'm getting my decade.
91, where he gets arrested.
That's right, so it must be. I'm sure it was something late like 70s, 79, early 80s. Something yeah. like that. So Vietnam is over.
Yes.
But it's still quite still war, isn't it? Still
a lot of soldiers and stuff, yeah, absolutely.
So he was struggling to find stability, I think. Yeah. The dad moves on.
That's correct, yeah. Dad moves on.
Moves in with his girlfriend.
Yeah.
The mum, where was she?
I can't remember where the mother is.
Just gone.
Yeah.
So where does he go when he comes back?
He goes to his grandmother's house.
His grandmother. Yeah. That age-old story.
And this is the build-up isn't it? For when I think he steals the mannequin in this episode.
Oh, the mannequin!
Or he steals it before, and this is the build-up to the point where we see him with the mannequin, the grandmother finds it.
Well remembered.
So, no, it's actually earlier in the show when his grandmother walks into the room and the Dharma tells him not her to go in. But this is the episode where they reveal it, yeah.
And him, like, hiding in the changing room so that he could get it. It was like a metallic kind of...
Yeah, it was like a Silver Surfer or a silver mannequin. What do you mean?
It was like...
You can't do that kind of...
An attractive mannequin. You can't mannequin. Do that
kind of attractive sound when you're talking about Dharma Show.
I think I'm talking about the mannequin.
Okay, yeah. He had a six-pack of the mannequin, didn't he? Yeah.
Why? Oh, so lonely.
it's so lonely, and the grandmother aspect is so, so grim.
It's so lonely.
Yeah. And he's got no one else in his life that's like him, and that's really destructive, and there's no structure for him, because if he had people like-minded, possibly...
Not even that. I think, I had an older sister. You've got older siblings. It's just people that you can talk to that are on your level. Then you just don't feel so alone. He had nobody.
Yeah.
Did he have any friends?
No.
The hitchhiker that he killed.
The mannequin.
The mannequin.
I don't know. It's so strange.
It's really tragic. And yes, he... You know, there's an argument to say that he was predisposed to this kind of lifestyle and this, killing nature. But at the end of the day, he was left alone and he was looking for company. And the fact that he thought he would have that company in a mannequin is tragic.
It really is tragic. And it was like he was trying to learn how to be held and want to hold someone. There's a lot about that, cradling someone.
Definitely. It's probably feeds into why he spent some time with the dead bodies afterwards, and that coldness of the body, like nothing there, like no energy there, living energy. He probably really reminded him of that, this moment. It was quite a pivotal moment, wasn't it, really?
It really was, and it's... the whole situation is like... We can't truly say whether if he had the support, that he wouldn't have turned out like this. But he would have definitely been in a better space, better headspace.
Yeah, it's like layers and layers of terrible situation that just compounded him being him. And I think, this potentially was his first sexual experience.
Yeah,
with
another
being or entity, like not alone. It really deep dive into it. A psychologist would probably say that.
Yeah, it would be really interesting, fascinating to know his experience in the army from other soldiers' point of view, and what he was like, what his behaviour was like, what his sexual behaviour was like.
Yeah, or whether they had relations or not.
Yeah, I'd be really fascinated to hear that. And obviously, there's going to be tons of information because there must be people that are still alive now that are in the army, in the boot camp, whatever the situation was, that were with him and spent time with him. So that would be very fascinating.
Really interesting. There's probably a bit of a don't tell thing, though, isn't there?
Oh, within the army, yeah. But yeah, it's harrowing show, harrowing story, horrific story, and there's more to go.
I do enjoy, without being ridiculous, dissecting it, really picking it apart and thinking about, analysing him and what made him who he was.
Absolutely. And that's why we're going to record our next couple of episodes. We're going to record straight after watching the show. So in a few days, because we're post Hellbound Horror Festival now, which is fantastic, and congratulations to Ian Rayburn and his film Blue Devil again.
Yes.
For winning Best Film and the Orlok Award for Acting, Best Performance. So we can record...
And all the winners.
And all the winners, and all the submitters.
And you, Alex. And all the filmmakers. Well done to you. You've put in a lot of hard work, and it was really, really well done.
And you brought me a light-up Jason Voorhees mask, which is fantastic.
I did, as a congratulazione.
Congratulazione. And we'll be... we're not sure when we're going to release the next episode. Possibly next week. But Michael Chan, our other amazing host, is very busy with his acting career at the moment, so we're not sure when he's going to come back. His star is rising. Star Trek, a new series called Ezra, a gay vampire series, that looks fantastic. So more power to Michael.
He's doing so well.
He's doing very well, very proud of him within the podcast and within Hellbound further afield. So we might be recording our next episode of Dharma very soon after we watch episodes 6 and 7.
No.
No, 5 and 6, because it's even.
Can we go now?
We can go check it out now. Should we go and have some pizza?
Let's go.
Let's go.
Pizza?
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. Pizza. Bye.